Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're rejoining us. Happy Friday. You made it another week of the Trump terror over, though many more still to come. In a Labor Day prequel, if you will, we've got a great guest that's joining me for the next half hour to talk about the state of the labor movement in the United States, and especially what work needs to be done. There is a disconnect. We just talked with my last two guests, both Dan Schaefer, our political editor, and Milwaukee County Board Supervisor Jack Ekblad, about that very problem. I am very humbled and pleased to bring onto the show a radio host in his own right, award-winning Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. Find all of his work at TheRickSmithShow.com. Welcome, Rick, and thanks for spending some time with us.
Maggie, great to be here. Thanks so much.
Well, let's jump right in to the problem. There are many of them there, and we'll talk about some of the specific policies. But as you and I were getting ready for this program, you said to me, there's not much to celebrate this Labor Day. Tell me why you say that.
Well, there's nothing to celebrate this Labor Day if you're a working person. You've got an administration that's gutting union rights, eliminating collective bargaining protections, stripping federal workers of their ability to fight for better wages, hours, conditions. Let's talk about stopping the Revolution Wind Project and all of the investments that Biden made in the new energy economy, the thousands of jobs lost there. Let's talk about a Supreme Court that's reviving the Lochner era and doing it in a digital age. Let's talk about the end of a 90-year decided law in the National Labor Relations Act as they've ruled the National Labor Relations Board unconstitutional. You know, let's find out what's good about any of that for working people. I know who it's good for. It's good for Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos. It's good for the wealth class, the billionaire class of this country. Not good for the people who are going to have to clean up the mess after this Labor Day celebration, after the Trump folks pop the corks and party off of our hard work.
Yeah, Rick, one of the things that I talk about all the time on this show as an economist is that consumers, meaning people who work for a living, who receive paychecks, who have bosses, who try to save to make ends meet, we, the consumers in this country, are what truly drives our economy. We are 70% consumer and consumption is 70% of our nation's GDP growth. I don't know where this completely skewed and inequitable system that Donald Trump is proposing is going to lead us, except into another Great Depression. We tried this once. It did not work. We ended up in the Great Depression, and we have greater wealth inequality and income inequality today than we did back in the era of the Vanderbilts and the Rockefellers and the Gilded Age.
Yep.
This has been slow moving for a while. It's with bursts of speed in trying to dismantle the labor movement, as well as, frankly, laws that are not helpful to regular working families and middle class folks here in Wisconsin and beyond. Why is it that MAGA is so appealing to the very people that it seeks to disenfranchise and silence?
Well, there's a couple of answers to that. I think the first one is working people are angry. They've gotten screwed. They were promised, their birthright was that they were going to do better than their parents' generation did. They were told that if they work hard, played by the rules, they were going to get ahead. That hasn't happened. So they've been fed a constant drumbeat of angry, verbiage and red meat by talk radio, by cable news. They've been fed this line that it's the others that's the reason that they're not doing well. Instead of the white guy in the corner office in the C-suites, we're blaming each other. We're blaming the guy behind us. We're blaming the immigrant. We're blaming single mothers. We're blaming whomever we could get our hands on, except the people we should be blaming, which are the people who outsourced our jobs, have been crushing unions and stagnating wages. And then there's the other part of this. You know, part of me goes, look, yeah, there's the racist, angry, you know, all of the stuff that MAGA has been characterized to be. And then there's the other side of it. You know, my family is racist, homophobic, misogynistic, and always have been. That's just who they've always been. It's the generation they come from. But they voted for Donald Trump for the first time in their life, deciding to vote because they believed that he was going to bring back Brook Park Avenue. I grew up in Cleveland. Brook Park had Chevy on one end, Ford on the other, and hundreds of feeder plants in between. They believed he was going to bring those jobs back. They bought that lie. And they're kind of hard to give that up because, you know, they had good lives. Those jobs created good wages, a single income could go support a family, health insurance that you didn't have to worry if you're going to go bankrupt if you got sick, and some retirement security that when you got old, you're going to be okay. That's what they believed he was going to bring us back to. And this Labor Day, as we look back at that history and go, this is what you bought, this is what you were sold, here's what you got. What you got is now we're in single digit union density in this country. We're almost to the point in union density where it was illegal to be a union member. I mean, we're getting there.
We're getting there.
But it's almost there. And you brought up the Gilded Age. You know, I keep saying, everyone says, you know, every 100 years you relive history. Well, I think we're in the middle of the roaring 20s. We came out of the Gilded Age. Wealth inequality was massive. But then you had 1934. And 1934, for labor aficionados and historians, know that that's the explosion of organizing. That's when all of the hard work of coming together and suffering through, you know, the part of the Depression, that's where people found each other in the streets. And you had, what, 1.5 million people go on strike in 34? Yeah. You had the Teamsters in Minneapolis. You had the longshoremen. You had the textile workers. Textile workers went from 27,000 members to 270,000 members in 1 year. So that kind of explosion of organizing and people going, hey, this is the way forward, is what Trump and the billionaires don't ever want to see again, which is why you have all of this push to, well, eliminate the tools that labor used and workers used to make their lives better, like the National Labor Relations Act, but still keeping it in place to make sure that you restrain them enough. So for me, I think we're just reliving a bit of history. And the hope is that what I've been saying on my show is the solutions to our problems are going to come out of the suffering due to their savagery. The more savage they are, the more people, military they put on our streets, the more children they put back in the workforce, because, hey, we're making child labor great again.
Yep.
The more I gotta have a favorite Trump executive order to work for the federal government. The more of this stuff that hits us, the more angry we're going to get and the more out in the streets and shoulder to shoulder we're going to get. And that's how we change this country.
And I'm with you, Rick. And I've said on this very program, just step back for a minute, like put on the blinders about which party and all that kind of stuff and which team you think you might be, and consider for a moment whether or not it would be women and people of color and gay folks and trans folks and immigrants, whether it's more likely that it's those folks with their boot on your neck controlling the reins of productive capacity and benefiting it by far in scale. Is it those folks, or might it be the billionaire overlords and the guys in the corner office? As a point of logic and rationality, yeah, it's simply not the former. And yet, that message does not seem to get through. It seems to me, you know, Randy Weingarten exiting the DNC, right? We what is going on with Democrats? Where the hell are the Democrats talking and pounding the table on these issues? The problem actors are known and identifiable. What's going on here? We got more stock buybacks than we've ever seen.
Yeah, no, look, the reality is I'm a registered Democrat. I'm because I don't have another home.
Correct.
I don't think we can have a labor party, although people say, you should start a labor party. No, third parties don't do well in this country. It seems that I say you take one of them over and you make them sane. And at this point, the Democrats are as close to what we need as we're going to get, because, look, the Republicans are insane. But, you know, the reality in all of this, for me anyway, is when working people put aside those culture things, those things that, if you remember the quote that's attributed to Jay Gould, I can easily pay the half of the working class to murder the other half. When we give them things like the trans issue, like the bathroom issue, like, you know, race, gender, you know, when we allow ourselves to be sliced and diced and pitted against each other, we're the ones who lose. And until we can find our way of going, yeah, the old school, an injury to one is an injury to all, that we're all in this together, we're going to suffer. And sadly, and this is where the sad part of this comes from, in my view, only through mass suffering will we see the kind of solidarity that I think we need to reinvigorate the labor movement, to rebuild a prosperous working class. Only out of suffering will we be able to put aside our differences. I just don't think there's a lot. I don't think we're going to allow ourselves to put down our swords and get out of our silos. I hope we do, but I fear we're not going to without mass pain and suffering.
Folks, my special guest this afternoon is Rick Smith. You can find his fine program at therickssmithshow.com. We're talking all things labor in advance of Labor Day this coming Monday. Rick, you know, I the idea that it's going to have to get worse to get better and the pain is going to have to get more acute and the suffering more widespread leaves me so deeply concerned for the people at greatest risk in our communities, whom I include amongst them, the white folks and working folks on the very edge, right? And that's the wedge that MAGA has been so good at exploiting, making that working class white guy that's had a manufacturing job and is just trying to retire, maybe he's got some medical debt, whatever it is, convincing that gentleman that he's got nothing in common with a young, maybe black woman here in Milwaukee that's working three jobs trying to keep her family afloat. But those two people have so much more in common than they have with anybody that is at the top tiers of the MAGA movement. And of course, Elon Musk. The thing that scares me about the difference culturally between the rise of labor that we saw coming out of the Gilded Age and in the early 30s and today is that I feel, and this is going to sound counterintuitive, but I feel like people are more isolated today than they were then. People still existed in communities where they interacted with one another. The Industrial Revolution brought about urban living and people in closer quarters. Pamphleting was a thing. The information bubbles and, frankly, algorithms, which are nothing more than confirmation bias machines, have so isolated people that sense of individualism and self-interest, with this constant refrain that is sold by Republicans of false scarcity, right, and everything is zero sum, unless we can somehow attack that, frankly, false premise of these political dialogues, I worry about whether or not we're going to have those breakthrough moments, even if we see more suffering that should be a catalyst. We're going to continue this discussion with Rick on the other side. Please don't go anywhere. Little early Labor Day discussion here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked. We'll be back in just a few minutes. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. This one's for the workers. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a great guest with me. He is a star in his own right, host of The Rick Smith Show. Find his program at therickssmithshow.com. Welcome back, Rick. Thanks for being here with us to get ready for Labor Day. I set up a concern that I have that when we look at the initial rise of workers' rights, the labor movement that eventually led to the adoption of the Fair Labor Standards Act and a whole bunch of protections for workers, the right to unionize, et cetera, et cetera. We look at the circumstances that gave rise to that in the early 20th century. And I look at where we are now, tons of parallels. We've been talking about many of them. The thing that concerns me the most is I feel like people are so much more isolated. Yeah. I feel like MAGA preys on people's sense of isolation and the fear that accompanies deep loneliness as well. How do we break through that, especially when MAGA has been so effective at exploiting what I'm going to call cultural wedge issues in a way that has made it very difficult for Democrats to even utter words that sound human to many voters and not getting all tongue-tied about it?
I'm going to be the first one to say I don't care what MAGA does. It's about 35% of the population. I think they're unreachable. In labor terms, in my world, they're fives. You leave the fives alone. You're never going to get them off their, you're never going to get them to undon the red hat. They're never going to give up the t-shirt. They bought it. They're in. They're all in. It's the fours that I want to move to threes, the threes, the twos, the one. I want those working people to understand that we're all in this together and that all of us are one illness, one tragedy, one thing away from potential disaster, bankruptcy, homelessness, all of that stuff. And the sooner we all realize that, I think the better we are and to become part of the community. And I'll give you a story. I don't know if you know about my personal life, but last September, my wife was nearly killed in a motorcycle accident. My union health insurance gave me the ability to ensure that she gets everything that she needs to help maybe become who she's going to be. At no point did I even consider the costs, what it was going to cost, if we were going to get it. I just demanded. And when the rehab hospital wanted to throw us out, it was my union fund who contacted them and said, "Nope, we're not going to let her go. It's in our interest she stays." This is what a union can do. My union's brothers and sisters reached out with support. If I needed things, people were there. I've gotten a leave of absence from my job for over 11 months now. It's this kind of stuff that we don't hear enough about when you talk about unions. Yeah, we talk about wages, we talk about, you know, benefits, but at the end of the day, it's that part of being part of a community that when tragedy hits, when something bad happens, there's a community to stand behind you and help you and fight for you and make sure that, you know, your wife gets the treatment she needs, your kids get the treatments they need if they get sick or something happens. It's this kind of stuff that I don't think we talk enough about. And this Labor Day, for me, the celebration of this holiday is the fact that my wife right now is having a nice lunch with my daughter and they're smiling and listening to the ducks laugh. That's priceless. But you know what? It's my union that helped make that possible. Because the insurance I got, never needed a thing. The job that I have, I don't have to worry about losing. So for me, these are stories I think are very important during this time period. So if you want to reach people, I think you have to connect with them. I think you have to help them identify that, hey, September 10th, 11th, my life was perfect. I was as happy as I was ever going to be. That morning of September 12th, it all changed in one woman making a left-hand turn, running over my wife. That could happen to any one of us at any time. And the idea of an organization that brings people together, because unions aren't an outside entity, they're a group of people. It's pure democracy. So when workers have the ability to come together and form their union, they get better lives, better wages, better conditions, better hours, all of that. And oh, by the way, society benefits because we have prosperity broadly shared. We have opportunities for people to do more things. I get to do this. So for me, this Labor Day, I think people should be fighting for at least what our parents and our grandparents had, and then wanting to leave something better for their children. But what we've got now is we've got a giant 30-foot, big billboard of Donald Trump on the Department of Labor. Stuff you'd see in North Korea. Yes. We've got labor laws that are being gutted by a court that is hostile to workers. The Lochner era is going to look like a bunch of pikers when the Roberts era comes into line. So for me, this Labor Day, the hope is hot dogs, hamburgers, beers. Hope it's all union made. But think about solidarity. Think about your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Think about how we're gonna rebuild the most prosperous working class in the history of humanity, not just for ourselves, but for our children and future generations, like our grandparents did.
Rick, thank you so much for sharing that and your family's very deeply personal and immediate benefits from being in a union. I wish Democrats would talk about this in terms of, we want all working people to not be worried about the next car accident or the roof that needs to be replaced or a medical tragedy that puts them into bankruptcy. Unions help get people there because of these kinds of benefits. We want everybody to do well and better, and our kids to do better. That's the message of folks who truly want what is real wealth and prosperity in a country. And real wealth and prosperity is that which is shared, which people are willing to work for, but is shared. It is not held and controlled by the billionaire oligarchs like Elon Musk. Thank you for the inspiration, Rick Wilson. I will be listening to The Rick Smith Show. You can find his fine work at thericksmithshow.com. I'll be back on the other side. Folks, stay put. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Everybody, and welcome. If you're just joining us, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, every Friday, or at least every Friday that we can, at 5:30, we do a little segment called Ask Maggie, where you, the listeners, can ask me basically anything you want about politics, about sports. You could even ask me about astrophysics. I would have absolutely no answers because I am not an astrophysicist, but you can ask whatever you would like. And I try to answer those questions in a time limit provided by my senior producer, Jamie. You want to send those questions in now? 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can always email them in to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That email again is askmaggie@civicmedia.us. Welcome back, Jamie, and happy Friday.
Thank you. Thank you. You too. So glad it's Friday.
Yeah, it was a week.
You know, it's funny when I curate these questions. And by the way, thank you to your listeners for being so amazing, because we don't do a very good job at promoting this segment ourselves, because there's just always so much other.
My head's always popping off with the news of the day.
There's always so much stuff, and yet they still send us some really awesome questions during this time that we get to answer the questions, or, you know, in email. So I appreciate that. And I can always tell when it's been a really busy week and they too need a break from the news cycle, because the questions are way less about politics.
Yes.
Yeah. And a whole lot more fun. So that's what we've got in store for today. So, you know, they understand too that sometimes a break is needed from the news cycle. And by the way, thank you to the diehards out there who are always like, no, we need to cover all of the news now. We appreciate that. Sometimes the rest of us need a bit of a break, though. Just a teeny one, is what we're going to get now.
Maybe we should put a little meat on that. On the bones here, I'm going to break the fourth wall, Jamie, as they say, a little peek behind the curtain. Use the tortured metaphor here, Mags. I just want to share with all of you, in for any given day's show or guest, between Jamie and I, I'm going to just say there's probably like double the amount of time that is spent for a particular amount of time on the radio. So I just want you all to rest assured, and please, I appreciate your extension of good faith to Jamie and I when we take these little breaks. We did on Monday with Girls and Ladies Rock, which was amazing. The consumption of this much news all of the time actually necessitates a break, not just for us, but I think for you. Uh-huh. But we need a little brain break as well. And we always try to get you all of the important stories of the day, even when we're doing some of this fun stuff.
Yes,
so.
Yes, we do. We do try very hard. And yes, Girls and Ladies Rock was absolutely amazing. By the way, if you didn't get a chance to hear that episode live, you can always go to the website, civicmedia.us. You can go over to Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and check it out, because it was a whole lot of fun and a really great organization. And these are the moments that we need to celebrate young people, people just in general doing good stuff. And that's what's happening with Girls and Ladies Rock.
And good fun.
Apparently several different areas of it throughout the state. So even if you're not in Milwaukee, there might be, you know, some sort of chapter near you where you can maybe pick up a guitar, learn to play the bass. Are you going to do that? Because I know that's a lifelong dream.
Listen, one never knows. If you may see me playing a little bass in a little band or going to band camp next session with Ladies Rock.
It would be like good fun. There's a video documentary in the making of Maggie learning to play. And I think it'd be a whole lot of fun, though.
It would
be a whole lot of fun. It would. So, Cal, now that we've talked and wasted a lot of time about other stuff, go ahead and roll the intro so that we officially know it's time for Ask Maggie.
It's time to get your questions answered, Wisconsin style, Welcome to Ask Maggie, a rapid-fire round from politics to pop culture. So buckle up, Buttercup. It's Ask Maggie, and we're about to take your questions at lightning speed.
Well, as you can tell, we do not lightning speed this, but we'll do our best
we
here.
We try.
There's always a lot to discuss because you and I don't spend enough time talking to each other about things. This is a really great question, and it comes to us from Leo in New Glarus. And this is one of those little bit more serious, but I feel like, you know, this tiptoes on the edge. He says, I normally love this time of year, but I have to admit I'm finding it really hard to find the joy in most things right now. I thought this was a good starter based on our previous conversation. His question for you, Maggie, is any advice for myself and people who, like me, are having a hard time feeling that joy right now? So Cal will give her 60 seconds for this one whenever you're ready.
Here's thing number one, take a vacation from the news for more than a couple of hours. I have tried to do that more and with some great intentionality, because in order to fully participate in this democracy and make our voices heard through voting and protesting and getting involved, you have to have the energy and capacity for that. So my advice is to find a weekend plus or a couple, 2-3 days, and just try to take a little hiatus from the news. I know I do that. I have to force myself to put the phone down. The other specific suggestion I have is turn some of your notifications off on your phone or change the settings so that even if the notification pops up, the banner on your phone doesn't actually read the headline out to you. Because you see it, they're designed to suck you in. Oh my goodness. And so I think just curating how the information is coming in and hitting your windshield and taking some conscious time away, it will allow you to find joy in things and people and walks and outdoors. And the last thing I'll say is get with your people and get some time outside. Those are my three tips.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I haven't looked at the forecast, but if you are trying to make your Labor Day plans, I think it's shaping up to be very nice across most of the state. Now, I say that and I'll probably, be found wrong at some point.
Right.
So don't hold me to it. But I believe for a good portion of the weekend, at least, a lot of people are going to enjoy some really nice weather.
Let's hope so. We deserve it.
We deserve it. We do. And I got to say, I'm a fall weather person. So these last few days in the Madison area, it's just given me that little taste of fall. I'm ready for apple cider donuts, flannels, and pumpkins, I have to say. Like the main things you need in fall, right?
I love the fall. I also love a good Midwestern summer as well. But yeah. my favorite time of the year is also the fall, mostly the colors, and give me a warm, cuddly sweater. Like that sounds comforting. I need comfort.
Everything
we all need comfort.
Be right. And everything feels better when I can wrap myself in something warm and snuggly. Just saying. I mean, everything in life feels a whole lot better. That was a great question. So thank you to Leo from New Glarus. This
thank
is another
you,
really
Leo.
Good one. And I'm excited to hear your take on this, because I know you like to, determine yourself a bit of a foodie. And this comes to us from Christy, who is in Wauwatosa. She listens on WAUK through the app. And she says, settle a debate. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no? I say sure, since sardines are considered to be fine on pizza. My coworker, though, says absolutely not. Let's give her 30 seconds for this one, Cal, whenever you're ready.
This doesn't need 30 seconds. It needs a second. No, pineapple is a fruit. It does not belong on pizza. I realize tomatoes are fruits, but a pineapple does not go on pizza. That makes it something other than a pizza. You may call it a ham and pineapple cheese thing that's on flatbread, but it's not a pizza. It is, pineapple does not equal pizza. It's just a flatbread with cheese and pineapple on it, and maybe some other things. It is not a pizza anymore. And I actually like it, but I just don't think it's a pizza.
That makes sense. That actually makes sense. And I am a pineapple on pizza person. Now, I'm very specific, though, and I have to have certain ingredients because you have to have the sweet with the savory,
the right,
right?
mix.
Yes. So it has to be Canadian bacon because you have a little bit of salt. You have to have some onion in there because then you get that mix in there. And then I personally love a good mushroom, and then it works. If you just put pineapple on pizza with like pepperoni or something, no, that's disgusting. But you have to have a good mix.
Yeah, yeah, I do like a flatbread with a mild flatbread. Cheese, Canadian bacon, a good caramelized onion, and a little bit of pineapple. But again, I'm going to call that a flatbread with some really cool toppings on it. It's not a pizza.
One of the things in life that I don't get to enjoy like I used to because of sensitivities is like an actual pizza. So I have to try to zhuzh it up as much as I absolutely can, because let's be realistic, no matter how much a good cauliflower crust pizza, how good it is, how much a good, how good
it is, not the same.
It's not the same. No. It's just all the bread. So I got to try the best I can.
And I am a pizza purist. So growing up, the only pizza in my head is always a Milwaukee style thin crust, cheese, sausage, mushroom, onion. That is what it is. That is the only pizza my parents ever ordered when we went out for pizza at Mamma Mia's, especially with the huge slabs of garlic bread swimming in garlic butter and their families. It was the family meal on Tuesdays at Mamma Mia's, and it was garlic bread, an extra large cheese, sausage, mushroom, onion. That was the pizza in the family meal. And I think it was like an orange dreamsicle swirl and a pitcher of soda. All the That's food crazy. Groups. My parents did also, of course, get the extra Italian salad, which you put all the good stuff on that, it's still Makes vegetable. It it's still a vegetable, more
sure.
or less.
We'll go with that. So you sound a little bit like my husband. He grew up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, where there were a lot of true Italian restaurants. So whenever he gets a pizza, it has to be cracker thin. It has to be cut in squares. It has to not be flimsy. And I'm telling you, if you try to give him a Chicago style pizza, he is
not
going
pizza.
To tell you. No, he's going to tell you that is bread with some sauce on it. That's what he's going to tell you.
I am absolutely, like, your husband is 100% right. I am also the pieces had better be cut in squares. I don't know. In New York City, I used to get in fights with all my friends that were native East Coasters. I was like, this limpy, you got to roll it up. It's in,
that's
that? I want a square that holds its own.
Yes.
Now, do you like the inside pieces, Jamie, or the outer crust?
I always get stuck with the outer crust because everybody else in the fam loves the inside pieces. And so I would prefer, if I get a chance to grab one, the inside pieces. Now, I have an 18-year-old that will literally demolish the pizza to get to the inside before everybody else does. And then I'm like, what did you just do to this beautiful pizza? Now it's a train wreck. What happened?
Now it's an O of pizza with no inside pizza.
It is.
When I have friends that also like both inside and outside, you would be unsurprised to hear, as an economist, I go through a very careful analysis of the square inches of pizza so that we can equitably divide said pizza.
Nobody's surprised by this. Nobody's surprised by that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much, Jamie. And thanks to everybody for your great questions. I know we don't get to all of them, but keep them coming again. You can send your questions in for this fine segment. Every 5:30 on Fridays, we have a little lightness to go into the weakness. Lightness to go into the weekend. Send your questions to Ask Maggie at civicmedia.us or 855-752-4842. When we come back, we got Terry Barr for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Please tell me something good. It has been quite the week of news, and we have made it to Friday afternoon. Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. And of course, I am so pleased, as I always am, to be joined this Friday afternoon by my colleague here at Civic Media for what we like to call what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Welcome back, Terry Barr. How are you, my friend?
I am well, Maggie. How are you? And happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I'm hanging in there. It was a buzzsaw this week. Gotta say, whew, glad we made it.
I feel once you and I get to talk at this point on Friday, it has been a week. So I'm glad we get an extra day next week. And I hope everyone else does too, to enjoy and relax and just take in these last days of summer.
Absolutely. When I get off the air with you, Terry, I'm looking hopefully for still some sun in the sky and maybe a little dinner and fellowship with friends, you know, I completely unplug.
Toast to that.
Absolutely. And maybe, you know, maybe a Brewers win. Maybe a Brewers win. That's also a good thing. So what you got for us this Friday, Terry?
Well, you know, with the tie-in to Labor Day and discussions that you have been having about it, I wanted to kind of dig in and learn a little bit more about Wisconsin's history when it comes to Labor Day and unions, organized labor in general. So I talked with Amy Pahacek. Amy is the State Department of Workforce Development Secretary. And so here's a couple of the really interesting things I learned about Wisconsin and why it matters for us. We are the first to call Labor Day a state holiday. That happened in 1893. Now, here's why. We had the first labor unions, and those formed in Milwaukee. Get this, bricklayers formed in 1847. These dates blow my mind. Carpenters, 1848, and shoemakers in 1867. We also had some of the first legislation that remains important to workers in the state and across the country. That includes workman's comp, unemployment insurance. But in my discussion with Amy, aside of looking back, I said to her, well, how do we hold this up as we move into the future? We have some interesting things going on, and she is determined to keep Wisconsin in this number one place when it comes to work and being the leader. And this includes in artificial intelligence. So here's what she told me.
When we looked at the top industries here in Wisconsin, those occupations within those industries that have the highest rate of potential augmentation or disruption, and really came up with a 45-page playbook and plan of how we're going to protect and upskill and transition our current workers, how we're going to prepare our current industry and employers, and how we're going to make sure our education and government is staying on the cutting edge of not only protecting our workforce, but also ensuring that our youth and our current workers have the skills they need to be competitive as these tools come and as AI really takes hold, which we are seeing very rapidly. Mm-hmm. And so we are proud of that work. We were able to get a lot of wins in the recent biennial budget to ensure we can begin to implement some of these recommendations.
And it's interesting, Maggie, this task force she mentioned, really looking and honing in at artificial intelligence and how it could impact workers in the state. They started this task force almost 5 years ago when a lot of us were still going, what is this AI thing? Mm. And how is it going to impact what I do every single day? And she's met with other state leaders in similar positions with the workforce. Wisconsin right now is ahead of the pack. So I'm really happy to tell you that. It makes me feel that they are going to be trying to help workers of all sorts. And she mentioned, you know, manufacturing, media.
Of course.
All of us that could be hit just in some different ways by AI.
It's incredible. And would it surprise you that I have a story about your story, Terry, as we always seem to find ourselves? And to all of our listeners, I promise we do not plan this out.
No, you never know what topic.
I never know what's coming up.
Never.
So Amy Pahacek and I are former colleagues from Milwaukee County. That is where Amy and I first met. She was the director of risk management there. And then Governor Evers, when he was first elected, asked her to come help him with a variety of roles, and she ended up matriculating over to the Department of Workforce Development. And I have this lovely little story to tell about Amy. When I first came to the county, it is a pretty intense job, and there are a lot of eyeballs on you. And Amy had bought me this enormous, beautiful orchid and gave me the nicest card when I got to the county and said, hey, if you ever need somebody to talk to about all of the different culture and personalities and everything. She was very, very kind to me when I first came to the county, and I very much appreciated that. Amy was also one of the people that came to what I'm going to term a wee bit of a celebration after I appeared on Fox News and was interviewed by Pete Hegseth back in 2018. Was literally interviewed by Pete Hegseth, and he tried to ask me a gotcha question, and I ate Pete's lunch for him on national Fox News during a morning hit. And Amy and a bunch of my colleagues from Milwaukee County, we had a little cheers to celebrate, you know, telling Pete who's actually boss. People think he's some sort of ace communicator. I think not. I think he's no litigator, I'll say that. Thanks.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
So
he
very
didn't know who he was up against.
That's right. He thought he just had a little old lawyer from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He did not know what was about to go down. Thank you so much, Terry, for bringing us a little Labor Day preview. Have a wonderful weekend and a wonderful Labor Day, my friend. Same to all of you. I appreciate you being with me. You got a little Peach Wabba Nightlight coming up next. Stay tuned for that. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.